One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Tonight I'm going to speak on something the world knows nothing about. I mean absolutely nothing about. I'm talking about the world. Now, those of us who are saved are acquainted, at least in a measure, with this wonderful truth that I'm going to preach. Now then, what am I going to preach on tonight? A little word that starts with L and ends with E. And it's got two letters in the middle. And that's the greatest thing in the world, isn't it? L-O-V-E. Let me ask you, the Bible's full, especially the book of John. I mean, the epistle of John is full of the little word beloved. Which did you prefer, to be loved or be hated? I'd rather be loved, hadn't you? Yes, sir. Now then, I want you to turn in your Bible. We're going to find some wonderful texts. Proverbs 10, verse 12. Proverbs 10, this is just absolutely something that's hard for a man to believe or imagine unless he's a Christian. Unless he knows the depths of this little word. Verse 12, that's 10 and 12. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sin. When you run out of love, you wouldn't last till the water got hot. I guarantee that's what my mama used to say. I tell you, you get addicted to this. If you ever really get hooked on it, I mean, you know, the Bible talks about being addicted to the ministering of the saints. I believe there's a spiritual addiction that ought to just absolutely be as powerful as this dope addiction. Wouldn't it be a sight if people got as interested in making a trip to heaven as they do on LSD? And I tell you, it's just unbelievable that anybody, and yet a flock of you, have had that silly LSD in your system. I mean, I can't imagine you ever being stupid enough from here on to put that kind of acid that goes to your brain and floats you away, like some of you said, and made you weigh about 4 pounds. You didn't have any sense. You couldn't hold a job. No husband would want a wife that was on LSD. You couldn't pass your grades. And more than that, I don't believe you can go to heaven taking it. You can take a trip, but I believe that trip will wind you up in hell. Because I've never known, and I'm going to say this out loud, I've never known of a spirit-filled Christian to have to take dope, smoke marijuana, or even smoke cigarettes or drink liquor in order to have a good time. Never have. You'd say, well, Brother Wolf, I've got news for you. I'm hooked on cigarettes myself. You're not spirit-filled, though. Don't you tell me you get spirit-filled and have all that junk coming in your system. You're not talking to me. You're not right about it at all. You've been deceived. God's people never resort to anything that'll damage the temple of the Holy Ghost if they're spirit-filled. You'd say, well, what does it mean to be spirit-filled? It means to be spirit-controlled. And all you got to do is to ask the one who owns and operates this tabernacle, would you like a shot of LSD or some marijuana? Well, he'd look at you and say, listen, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? They're not in. Have you ever prayed about it? Have you ever fallen on your knees, girls, before you went out and smoked and took dope and lived like? Have you ever said, now, Lord, I want you to lead me tonight in my sin? Oh, no, you didn't. You forgot all about God. You waved him goodbye. Fact is, if you saw him coming, you said, go back. Isn't that right? You didn't want the Lord along. You wanted the devil along. And he came with you and got you into trouble and broke your heart. Wound you up in dirt and filth, tangled up in the muck and the mire of a hog pen of sin. And you got, the marvel is you got to where you liked it. and you missed it. You long for that bunch of old filthy rock and rollers. You know what I'm talking about. Listen, I don't like this place. Great, fine, but not for me. You wait till you get your old hog nature changed. You'll get out of the hog pen. I'll guarantee you'll jump that fence and head for home and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called your child. Oh, listen, God, when he convicts you of your sin, you'll not want to go back to that kind of sin. What did he say? He said, love covereth all sins. I want you to turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter. The main thing I want to say tonight, because I think everybody would like to be loved. I think everybody would like to be lovely. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. And above all things, have fervent love among yourselves. For love shall cover the multitude of sins. Isn't that true? Love shall cover the multitude of sins. You know, I used to hear people say, charity. They use the word charity sometimes interchangeably with love. I prefer the word love. But I used to hear the old timers say, charity begins at home, or love begins at home. And yet, haven't our homes run short of love? Did you know we've had many, many girls, I'd say most of the girls that have come to our home have said, we have never been loved like this. Now, there's nothing so good about us except it's Christ in us that's loving you. See? It's not normal for us to love the unlovely. It wasn't natural for God to love the unlovely, and yet the Bible said, unto him that loved us and then washed us. I never knew my mother, and I can remember as a pretty good sized boy, I can remember my mother loving me when I was dirty. I mean, I'd had a busy day. And my mother'd pick me up or take me by the hand and march me to that little ante room where the number 3 tub was. And she'd jerk an old tea kettle off of the stove and pour that hot water in. And then she'd pour cold water in and said, listen, you little old dirty outfit, get in there. And she'd smile at me. She wasn't mad. She just loved me, dirt and all, huh? I mean, love covers a multitude of dirt, huh? I'm glad I met the Savior who loved me like that. And I'm glad that at least in a measure, he's given me love for people that are unlovely. Why, if you just love those people that are lovely, you're not any different from anybody else. But if we learn as Christians to love the unlovely, now we'll forget the story of the woman who came in the rescue mission one time. She was dirty, depraved, debauched, degraded, and she stood there with a cynical, bitter face and heard the preacher preach. And when the message was done, this pastor, this preacher, superintendent of the mission, his wife went back to this poor old dirty woman of the street that had been to the depths and only came in to get out of the cold and maybe get a bite to eat, maybe a bowl of soup. This lovely woman, Christian, went to her and said, God loves you. And that woman turned on her and said, it's a lie. Oh, she said, God does love you, and I love you. And that woman looked at her with all of her filth and dirt and old ragged clothes and said, if you love me, kiss me. And she kissed her on her cheek and embraced her. Tears dropped down on this woman's shoulders. And she wound up in the altar. Love covers a multitude of sins. I wonder, have you ever learned, are you going to love people? The night will never get too cold if we love somebody. My mother made her way to my old bed yonder in that old ranch house in Navarre County, a many a cold night. We had no central heat. And I tell you, that old linoleum was as cold as ice, freezing weather. And she didn't have all the fancy robes and so forth that people have to keep them warm. But I've heard those feet come a many a night 1 and 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. My, I was wrapped up and under the cover and had warm bricks around my feet. And my mother'd stand by the side of my bed and minister to me in my pain, sickness. Why? She loved me. That is it. Oh, she didn't have to come and said, son, I love. She proved that she loved me. You don't have to tell people you love them if you prove it. Love covers the multitude of sin. Now, I want to give you something about love. And these are the three wonderful things that all of us need to know. Number one, love beareth all things. You talk about a load. Love can carry a mighty load. Love can carry. And I tell you something else. Love will never forsake its own. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. To me, there's only one real. And did you know that the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, number one? Did you know that's the first fruit of the Spirit? You say, well, I wonder if I'm filled with the Spirit. Do you love everybody? Do you have a Christ-like love? You know, something came in my mind. Mothers and daddies today, and the Bible said there's going to be a time when they're going to be without natural affection. In other words, there's going to come a time, and I think we're there now, when mothers and daddies will not love their children as much as an old dog would love her little puppies. And girls, I had an experience one time on our farm, one stormy night. Oh, I tell you, I dreaded for those in the springtime, for those black clouds to start grumbling and a-rumbling way over in the west. It scared me to death. I tell you, I was so scared of storms, I'd always rather nervous and sickly. And I tell you, I'd just the first little faint rumbling in the form of thunder would just wake me up like that. We had those old-fashioned shades, window shades. We didn't have Venetian blinds or curtains, just had a window shade. And so, man, I'd grab that thing and pull it down. And I tell you, it might have been a hot night, but I tell you, I wanted no more of that. And so directly, sure enough, I thought, oh, me, I hope it'll go around. And I will forget little old Sonno, my colored friend I work with. And he always had an answer to everything. You know, he's a preacher now, and neither one of us ever dreamed we'd be a preacher. But Sonno and I were great friends. And when a storm was coming up one day, and I knew my daddy didn't want me coming to the house, unless it was really a cyclone and already, you know, kindly overtaking me. My daddy said, stay out in that field and work. And Sonno, he said, Lester, he called me Lester, I believe we better go head on to the house. Said, I believe a storm coming. I said, no, man. I said, listen. He said, yeah, but he said, man, he said, look at that black cloud. He said, coming on now. And I was desperate. I didn't want him to leave me out there. Misery loves company, and I wanted somebody. I wanted old Sonno to comfort me in case the storm came. But I tell you, I could see the white of his eyes, and he kept watching that black cloud. And he said, I tell you what, I'm going on ahead to the house. I'm not going to stay here. And I said, Sonno, don't you see? I was just there. I said, don't you see that cloud is already gone over? Oh, yeah, but he said, Lester, he said, it's just gone over. Tell him others, come on. And he beat it to the house, too. Yes. But, you know, that night when the storm came, you talk about thunder, you talk about lightning. Oh, my, I tell you, you could just look like it rocked the house. And directly the rain began to fall. And, of course, one thing that could make me feel better was when my daddy came walking down the hall. I thought he'd never come. Finally, he'd walk down the hall checking the windows. And my daddy would walk up to that, and I was at the way north room. All of us boys had a bed apiece. I slept by myself, and he'd walk and stand in the middle of the door, and he'd reach up and turn on that old carbide light, that old flint deal, you know, and boy, just light up the whole room. And man, I'd cut out the lightning and somehow ease my pain, and my daddy'd look at me, and he said, son, are you all right? I said, yeah, now I am. See? I mean, my father'd come on the scene. Listen, he smiled. You know why he smiled? Oh, he said, son, we're getting a wonderful rain. That'll make that cotton. That'll make that corn. You see, I was just scared to death of what was going to make me a living. But you know, that night was sort of a special stormy night. And the lightning, I tell you, it struck. It hit hard. And all of a sudden I saw, and of course I had the curtain down, and of course I put the pillow over my head and the sheet over my head, but When I peeped out that night, when that thing hit, I thought, oh, me, it got our house. But he got the neighbor's barn, just up the road a little piece. And I saw the light just begin to come up on the window shade, and I thought, my, our house is on fire. I peeped out, and the neighbor's barn was burning. Some mules were dead. We had an old German shepherd dog named Teddy. Teddy had a fine little litter of puppies. And they were under the cow shed. And the cow shed is about that far, I mean the floor, and they were under there. But the little fellows were so small, the lightning didn't strike the cow shed. It struck the barn where the mules were. You know, the next morning, bright and early, I walked up there, and there was a pile of ashes. And after a while, the cow shed caught on fire and burned to the ground. And you know, Mr. Milford Nearing came out, and he said, you know, I can't find old Teddy. I just can't find old Teddy. Said she had, and we went over there to where she was. And you know, we found some big bones on top of the little bones. Old Teddy stayed with him, didn't she? Shoot, while she had to do just walk out. She'd have been in good shape. The lightning didn't strike the cow shed at all. It was the last thing that burned. But she stayed with her puppies. Isn't it sad that we got mothers and daddies that don't love their children as much as that old dog loved her pups? And yet we're facing that. Girls and boys and men and women, love would solve our problem. Love endureth all things. Love will never quit. You know, Jacob fell in love with a girl, didn't he? That's some love affair, wasn't it? Yes, sir. Jacob was a long ways away from home. And he got up there and he met a girl by the name of Rachel. And he just fell in love with her. And finally, he asked Laban if he could marry his daughter. And Laban said, well, and I think if there ever was a skin flint, Laban was it. Because I think Jacob needed to meet somebody because he sure had cheated his brother. You remember that? And you never cheat anybody but what you'll get cheated for, it's over. You watch and see. I mean, them old chickens are going to come home to roost. And that old boomerang's going to come on back. And you girls think you can sow your wild oats, but you're going to reap them. Unless you put them under the blood and ask God to forgive you. Of course, that's the blessed thing about becoming a Christian. Now then, Jacob had to work 7 years to marry Rachel. And when the wedding took place, and when the veil came off, it wasn't Rachel at all, was it? It was Leah. Who cheated him? Laban. He had to work 7 more years to get his favorite sweetheart. That's 14 years that he worked for one girl. How would y'all like to get engaged for 14 years? Because I realize he got to marry a little sooner, but I mean, he kind of married her on the credit. I mean, he had to work for her, I'll guarantee you that. But he'd already worked 7 years. And you know what the Bible said? It seemed but a few days to Jacob because he loved her. And that's it. He loved his precious girl and his sweetheart that he was to be married to. You know, love shortens the days. Love. I know my dad, I talk a lot about my mother, but my daddy worked hard all the time. My daddy never did come in at night with his face chapped and this time of the year when he's bedding the land and trying to get it ready and I was sitting in a warm schoolroom. My dad never did come up and say, well, I tell you, boy, I hope you appreciate what I'm doing for you. I've been out there all day and you've been sitting in the warm. No, he never did do that. Why, he was just glad to do it. Why? He loved his boys. But my daddy never did spend a lot of time. I don't ever remember my daddy getting me on his knee and saying, son, I just want to tell you how much I love you. I mean, I'd probably fallen off his knee if he'd told me that. But I tell you what he did do. He proved that he loved me. I guarantee you. He wasn't one of these mushy-gushy kind, but I'll guarantee you, when it came time to provide a living and get the groceries and put them on the table and take care of it, I believe if somebody come across, say he'd have died for me like that. I don't believe love just talks. I believe love walks. And I know love shares. Love endureth all things. But you know, there's something else about love. Love beareth as well as endureth. I mean, the burdens can get real heavy. And you know, I think a lot of times about you. I know the burdens get heavy sometimes. You wonder what mother's doing, dad's doing. You wonder what the old cronies are doing, the boys and girls are doing. And, the old devil said, boy, you ought to be back there. Why, you act like a little sissy up there singing the 48th Psalm. You know, beautiful for situation.
Well, praise the Lord. You've got a lot better situated now than you've ever been. Mind to know that you're in Christ. That's a position we ought to be in. And we're in. You're ready for an emergency. If Jesus comes, you're ready. If he tires a while, you're still ready. You're ready to serve him and ready to honor him. So love beareth all things. I'll tell you something else. Love believeth all things. Love believeth all things. Love is faithful. Love doesn't doubt. Love doesn't question God. Love doesn't... Did Job question God's love? Did Job ever say, Lord, I don't believe you love me. Now you've thrown an awful load on me. And here I am going through. I lost my 10 children, and I lost all my servants, and lost all my camels, and lost my land. And now my wife's coming and said, curse God and die. And my three friends that I thought would stick and stay to the very end, they've criticized me. And here I have lost my health, and I'm in this old ash pile. And, my Lord, you couldn't love me. Oh, no. Listen, dear friends. Love believeth all things. You know what he said? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. If he goes hidden, who was it wrote that song many years ago? Though God slay me, yet I'll trust him. I shall still come forth as gold. For I know my Redeemer liveth. I can feel him in my soul. Job had an experience with the Lord. I mean, Job just didn't go through the motion. And God put something in Job that made him stick and stay. And he said, I've esteemed his word more than my necessary food. Love believeth all things. Girls and boys and men and women tonight, I want to give you something. You'll not make it without this book. I want to make a prediction. Everybody in this building is going to fail this year, except those who get their report card out of this book. The Bible says, by faith, the elders obtained a good report card. Hebrews chapter 11. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, and endureth all things. And in closing, this is exactly what it means. It just means love can take it. It'll never turn back. It'll never turn back. You think anybody walked up to the cross and looked up in the face of Jesus while he died and said, do you love me? No. You think Simon Peter ever went to Jesus and said, lovest thou me? No, sir. It was Jesus who said, Simon Peter, do you love me? Lovest thou me more than these? And that's the question, isn't it? It's just a question of which one you love the best. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, behaveth not herself unseemly. And dear friends, the Bible says, and now abideth faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. How much love do you have? There's a heap of difference between love and lust. And don't you girls think you can ever marry somebody that you don't have godly love for and expect to stay with them and be happy? You won't. No, sir. You'll never build a happy home on lust or on the flesh. It'll have to be built on spiritual love. And I'm going to say something to you that I think we ought to say. God will never give a Christian girl the kind of love for an unsaved boy that would merit matrimony. Are you listening? God will never let one of his children marry an unsaved boy. I don't believe God would ever put his endorsement on a girl marrying if she's clean and decent and Christ-like. If he smoked cigarettes or drank liquor or took dope, you'd never get God's consent to marry a boy like that. Never. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Listen, I'm going to say something, and this is with my apologies to the Lord and with my reverence toward him, I believe it's impossible for God to join a saved girl to an unsaved boy. Don't you go with anybody that you couldn't afford to be married to. Don't ever go with an unsaved boy if you're a Christian girl, because the unsaved boy doesn't have heavenly control on his life. And don't blame him for being wicked and sorry and trashy and ungodly, because that's the way he was when he was born. He's gotten worse ever since he's been living. And girls, wouldn't it have been a lot better if you'd have just stayed home and listened to some Christian records and prayed and read your Bible? you wouldn't have had the heartache and the heartbreak. But I got good news for you. If somehow these experiences of the heartaches and the heartbreaks brought you to your knees and down to an old-fashioned altar where you said, Lord, I'm sorry, I want you to forgive me, then it would be worth it all. It certainly would be worth it all. Oh, may the Lord help us to yield our life to Christ. I wonder how many folks will meet me at the altar tonight and say, Brother Olaf, I want my sins forgiven. I want Jesus to make me what I ought to be for him. I've been wandering and wandering. I've been disobedient. I've not been yielded. I've been miserable and unhappy. How many of you will come tonight and just stack all the arms of rebellion and say, Lord, have mercy upon me now and give me victory.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.